Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Just enjoying the nectar of the morning, that's all.
Well, that's good. 45 degrees this morning when I woke up, so I was not enjoying that. It's May.
I'm having coffee. I'm drinking coffee.
I got you. I'm on my third cup, which I'm not really a big coffee guy, but on my third cup so far today.
Well, you're a dad now, so get used to it.
That's true. That is true. Corey, could be, potentially, a big day for the Nashville Predators today. The NHL draft lottery is tonight. They have, at the moment, an 11.5% chance of landing the number one overall pick. I want to ask you a philosophical question here.
If so, the best pick is a defensive player, do you take him?
That's exactly what I'm asking you. The best pick looks like it's going to be a defensive player. The Matthew Schaefer is pretty clearly, and I think almost consensus, the number one player in the draft when you ask all the gurus, and he is a high-level defenseman. The Predators, as you know, have never had that number one center. And there's a guy or two in this draft that I think could potentially become that one day. So I ask you, let's say the Predators land the number one overall pick. What would your reaction be if they went with the defenseman over the centerman, even though the defenseman may clearly be the best player available?
If he's clearly the best player, then they have to take him. You know, you just have to, you know, I hate to say grit your teeth and bear it, but you just have to take him. Roman Josi's not getting any younger. And it's not like the Preds' defense was tremendous last year, okay? Look, unless you're telling me, hey, the number two pick, yeah, he's going to be the next Stamkos as well. You know, because we've had those drafts where it's been 3-4 deep with just major, major stars. Then I could see doing it. But I'm sorry I'm not a hockey prospect expert. I'm going to tell you I'm not.
It's okay.
If this guy is clearly, you know, the stuff, then you got to take him, you know, and trust that you're going to find somebody somewhere else, even though you really haven't in 25 years.
So do you think that the Blackhawks, like, are they going to do like the frozen ping pong ball thing? Or like, how do you think they're going to rig it for the Blackhawks tonight, Corey?
Not much is working for the Blackhawks.
That's a shame.
People are broken up around here about it.
I mean, it's okay. You know, the Red Wings are not exactly, you know, bouncing back. You know, it's been a rough go for some of the NHL's best. You know, with the Blackhawks, as a Chicagoan, it comes down to ownership. You know, do you want to win? How serious are you? And when they've been serious about winning, they've seriously won. And when you're serious about losing, you seriously lose. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, they've got a lot of pieces to add. I'm not going to go into the conspiracy theory that it's rigged. Sorry. I hear too much of that in this world today. I'm not going to go there for the ping pong balls.
I generally agree with you philosophically. Just not the only conspiracy is for the Blackhawks, though. That's the one. That's the one that I allow. Yeah,
thank you. That's good. That's good. Yeah. So Corey, I'm asking you the same question I asked Rex Road earlier in the show on the Titans front. What do you feel better about right now? The Titans on the offensive side of the ball, or the Titans on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, I mean, you feel good that you think they've got a quarterback. I mean, it's a roll of the dice. I mean, really, what's the hit rate on these guys at that position? Like with the first like five picks of the draft, isn't it like 25%?
Roughly, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, it's hard to be like, yes, they've got their guy. Things will be different when you know that, regardless of how good guys have been. But you know, to me, you've drafted the guy who's supposed to be your cornerstone piece on offense. And I don't know if they have that guy on their defense, you know, right now. I mean, I know Jeffrey Simmons has kind of been that guy for a while, but he's in year seven. They don't have, you know, if they had a 15-sack guy that you knew I might feel better about their defense. But with what looks like a competent offensive line and the quarterback of your future, I think I might lean more towards the offense.
That's 3 for 3, actually. Yeah. We both
said the same. It's a scary place to be.
Yeah. It is a scary place to be. Well, I mean, you know, you mentioned the offensive line, Corey. First of all, of course, it's going to be very difficult to – you can't be – I really don't think you can be worse. I think it's going to be difficult.
We've said that before.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, yes. But I do believe that, and I do believe that it'll be very hard to not be better.
This is a realistic plan, though, Joe. Before, there's been a lot of hope in the plan. Well, I hope this guy develops. Well, I hope this guy is good. Hope these guys on the right side can come together. They've got an established guy at every position. You know, Zeitler is a pro. All right. Zeitler is a pro. It's like bringing in the big guy from the Rams that played left guard.
Roger Saffold.
Yes.
Saffold. Yeah. It's like bringing Saffold. You know he can play. You know Zeitler can play. And you feel you're not hoping like J.C. Latham can play the right tackle. You feel really good that he's going to be a good right tackle. And you know you've got a pro at center when he comes back, and you feel good about the trajectory Peter Skoronski's on. And, you know, you better feel good about the guy you got at left tackle because you just gave him a whole bunch of money. So you feel good about the pieces you've got in place there.
But you just hit the hope, though. That's the hope element of it, right? I mean, to me, at least. Dan,
you know, the left tackle?
Yeah.
Yeah, the left tackle, you know, yes, but, you know, there's some proof of product there, and you know the proof hasn't always been the best, but it's certainly been better than what they've had.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And I just look at defense right now, Corey. I know they just drafted Oladejo, but I'm looking at who's getting after the quarterback, and that to me scares the crap out of me for the defense right now, because I just don't know how good they're going to be getting after the quarterback. And if you can't do that in this league, in today's NFL, you're just up a creek on defense.
Yeah, I know there's the hope, there's that word hope, that they can kind of piece it together like the Commanders did last year, and you get a bunch from a bunch of different people. But you know, Oladejo is a project. I mean, he hasn't played that position, you know, very long. And the guys you bought in, what, like Lo Carter and Draymond Jones, you know, those guys, you know, you're hoping to get like 5 or 6 from those guys. That would be good. You get 5 or 6 from Arden Key, and you know, hope that Jeff gets 5 or 6. You know, hope that Tavondre, you know, moves up his number. So there's a lot of hope in that these guys all produce at, you know, I hate to say what you think their maximum level is, because you think most of these guys, their maximum level is about 6-7 sacks, right?
Yeah. It's not a great scenario.
No, there's a lot of hope. So you better hope that the offense scores a ton of points, which they haven't been able to do in years.
You know, maybe the most debated topic, I think, last week on this station was Xavier Restrepo, or like just in general Titans.
Yeah.
It's like some people are like, look at what a great signing. And then we have the, oh, my God, what are you doing? Where do you come down on him, Corey, just on that addition?
I mean, he's worth a look, right? I mean, highly productive college player who knows his quarterback. You know, it doesn't cost you anything to bring him in.
There's zero risk to it.
Yeah, I don't understand, you know, you get 90 spots, right? I think you can afford with some of the guys we've seen here who take up one of those 90. I think you can certainly justify taking up one of those 90. I mean, you got to, like, not everybody's going to make it. And, you know, you can always tuck guys away on the practice squad. Mason Kinsey's been tucked away there for years, and he keeps coming back, and he keeps winding up on the roster. You know, so, you know, maybe, you know, Xavier Restrepo is the next one. You know, the speed is obviously a question, but the production speaks for itself. And, you know, let him show if he can do it at this level. And if he can't, thanks for playing. And if he can, wow, that was cheap.
Corey, last thing for you here. How would you rate Tyler Lockett's handshaking ability, and what did you make of his press conference? Like, I walked away from his press conference watching it last week, Corey, and said, yeah, I like that guy. Titans have a pretty good leader in that wide receiver room.
I didn't even have time to get out of my chair. I mean, I was stunned. I was absolutely stunned. I mean, and I like most of these guys, so don't get it wrong, but it's different than it used to be. You know, we used to have a lot better relationships with a lot of these guys. They were more open to it. They weren't as guarded as they quite often are now. And look, I get it. There's a lot more people coming after them from a lot more different areas. It's not just idiots on the radio in the morning.
Jeez.
Did you hear that shot I just came with?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was a throwback to 20 years ago. You know, when, you know, you felt like, I mean, he even said we were a part of the family. I think
which was
like, whoa, what? So yeah, I was thrown back, and you know, I think you need good people, you know, especially veterans, to show people how to be good people quite a lot of times. Now, you still have to be able to play. That is the other big part of this. And you know, we'll see how much Tyler Lockett has left in the tank. But, you know, the thing I love about Tyler Lockett is, I mean, he has missed like 1-2 games in his entire career. And he has done it, you know, being a really small player and still being really productive. And so I think he's got a lot to teach because, you know, we talk about him being the king of business decisions. You know, there's a time and a place for everything. How many times have we seen guys get hurt or more and more often turn the football over trying to do too much?
Yep.
And that's what he talked about. Is I don't want to turn the football over after I've already gotten the first down. And you know what that is? That's smart, okay? And so they can use a guy to teach guys situational football and how to be smart. You know, and he's not, you know, this isn't like bringing in Julio Jones. You didn't trade a second and a fourth, and you're not paying him, you know, double figure, you know, millions to come in here and play. It's like a $5 million deal, right? I mean, so that to me is a very responsible signing with a clear plan. I mean, I think when Callie was asked about it, he said, you know, with Cam Moore's development, he said, it's a part of it, you know. And so, you know, yes, it's a small part of it. And they could afford a small part of it, not only financially, but in that room. And so, you know, it's just another element to show you why they like him, and he was worth bringing in. And again, if it doesn't work out with him, they're not that invested.
Corey, great stuff as always. I hope the coffee's tasting good this morning, and we will talk to you next week.
Is the sun going to come back out this, you know, month?
God, I hope so. Mm-hmm.
Hey, by the way, keep Isaiah Thomas's name out of your mouth too.
Every time when I'm riling you up, I'm like, you guys are all missing the point here. Isaiah Thomas was so overrated.
Yes, yes. Get in there.
Diminutive point guard who just got under people's skin. Yay, good for him.
Yes, that face is getting redder as we speak.
Way to get me going.
Yep. Thank you, Corey.
Now, that Joe Dumars was classy. He could have played
for
the Bulls.
Yes, there we go. Corey Curtis, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Joins us every Monday morning.
We'd love to have Dennis Rodman on our team. Of course we would.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We'll react to what Corey had to say. Again, you can check out Corey Curtis on our program every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. More coming up next. Robbie and Rexrow, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.